Welcome to the doodle revolution. Unlock the power to think differently. So who's here really wants to start thinking differently? Raise your hands. All right, that's why you're all in the room. I'm Laura Besson. I'm from Bristol-Myers Squibb. We're one of the sponsors of the meeting. We're really excited to be a sponsor. Last year, we actually had 10 women who came to the meeting, and the 10 of us were so excited. We actually convinced the organization to become a sponsor, and we have 108 women here this year. And we really see it's a way to invest in our time and really kind of expand what we're doing. Sunny's actually going to speak to us about how do we think differently using our visual mind. And I was telling Sunny, I'm trained as a physician. I've learned how to use my left brain really well. Yeah. I don't know how many of you are like me, but my right brain doesn't necessarily work. So I'm looking really forward to actually see how to unlock some of the powers by using creative thinking. And many of you, I spoke to a few in the audience, and actually some of you are like me. This is not a place of your brain that you use. You want to see how to use it differently. And some of you actually think about how do you actually harness creativity. So how many people, I see a lot of different people in the room, how many people spend at least half of their time in meetings? Oh, more than I thought. And how many of you would actually like to, besides making like nice squiggles and nice lines, actually make something meaningful out of those squiggles and their lines? So I think we're going to be in for a treat, because Sunny said that we're going to actually do this very interactively. And so I shared a story with her that at Bristol-Myers Squibb, we're obviously very committed to the patient. And you may have heard from Murdo Gordon, we're focused on very complex diseases, HIV, hepatitis C, oncology, cardiovascular disease. And we've been trying another way of trying to unleash how do we actually share information with patients. And so we've been embarked on a journey of co-creation with our patients and patient advocates and people who take care of patients to understand how we can package information differently to them. And one of the neat things that has happened is we're really focusing on visual literacy and how do you actually take complex information and distill it down to people who are dealing with very difficult problems and actually be able to share that information with them. And so we just did a workshop, a co-creation workshop with BMS, and people who care for patients. And one of the most interesting things that these oncology caretakers were thinking of as they kind of mapped the patient journey and thought about transferring information, they realized that people think, they have this emotion, and that they have to do something. And they actually mapped it out graphically where they actually drew a brain, a heart, and hands. And so when I thought about hosting this session, I said, this just happened 2 weeks ago. I mean, it couldn't have been any perfect timing. So I'm really looking forward to having a very interactive session with all of you and Sunny. So without further ado, and the other housekeeping tip is that Sunny's actually going to be signing books back in the main session on the beneficial pavilion, and so she has to leave here on time.
Oh, yeah.
Because
so
you actually all know how far the walk was.
I like to chat people up right
so
after.
So we want to make sure that she's not being rude, but she has to get out here on time. So without further ado.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. Thank you, Laura. I promise not to be upset with you because y'all didn't hire my company to do that graphic session. Not happy about that. So there's people still coming in, but I have to get started because we have a really short period of time together, and I'm not going to pack in a lot of stuff because I don't want to overstimulate you, but we definitely have some things to do. So how do y'all like my hair? I just did this a week ago. Thank you. I feel really not myself a little bit with this, so I'm like working on, I'm studying perception and how this, you know, changes your perception of me. So I'm sure some of you think like this woman cannot be sane, but I promise you I am sane. And I just wanted to experiment. So, welcome. There's rows in the front. Are they reserved for anyone in particular? Oh, great. Okay. Very good. Yes, you're all welcome, but I am going to get started. So this session, as you can see, is called Pure Imagination, and it is going to be grounded in reality. I don't know how many of you came to have a big adventure. Will you raise your hand if you came to have an adventure? Okay, good, because we will have an adventure, but how many of you came and you're uncomfortable with the idea of it, but you came anyway? That's awesome. I'm impressed with your courage. Nothing crazy will happen, maybe. Okay, so this is the promise of the session, which is that We're all going to experience innovation as an act that is available to all of us. So a lot of people associate creativity and innovation with people who have a certain kind of mind. And I think that that myth needs to be dispelled pretty quickly because it's patently false. It's not true. It's just a matter of having some training in a certain type of thinking. Can y'all hear me in the far back? Okay, cool. So that is the promise. That's what I want you to have an experience of as yourself as an innovator, okay? But I should tell you something really fast before I tell you what the games are. My nickname is Dr. Doodle, y'all. That is my name is Sunny Brown, but my nickname is Dr. Doodle. And I was not aspiring to that nickname. It's not like, you know, when you grow up, you're like, yes, people will take me seriously. But I got that nickname because of the work that my team and my organization does with people around the world, which is visual literacy and game thinking in order to support thinking. And I'm very passionate about it, and so that's why my friends christened me Dr. Doodle. So you are in the hands of Dr. Doodle. But we are going to play three games. In order for you to experience innovation, we're going to have to play some interactive games. People do not learn from just sitting still and listening. Learning is actually a three-dimensional experience, and so that's why I need y'all to like play with me today, okay? Even though it's going to be a little weird. But the games are called Gibberish. Piss Off Slugworth. Do you guys know who Slugworth is? You remember? We'll talk about that later. And then the last one's called Change Your Mind, because that is actually what's going to happen is we're going to neurologically change your mind, okay? So just to be clear, doodling, I'm waiting for the dictionaries to catch up with me. I'm redefining doodling, and Merriam-Webster is going to call me any minute, and we're going to redefine it. And this is what the definition of doodling actually is. Doodling is a universal skill and a tool, and people have been doing it for thousands of years across cultures. And there's a reason why they do it, and it's not because they're not paying attention or they're silly. It's because they're actually supporting their own thinking process. So that's what doodling is. Hi, how are y'all? And then I coined a term called infodoodling. Oh, sorry. Doodling can look like this, as you all know. That's your basic doodle. And then I coined a term. Wow, it's like the hits keep coming. Because y'all had to walk like a mile. I know. I was sweating when I got here. I was like, what? I coined a term called infodoodle, which is about integrating words and numbers and shapes together, right, to inform your thinking process. That's called infodoodling. And it could look like this. That's just an example. There's thousands of examples. And finally, there is also a term that we use in my company called GameStorm, which basically means to work with groups to use to layer those different modalities of learning into a group thinking process. It's in the service of solving problems and thinking better, and it could look like this. And this is sort of along the lines of what we're going to do together today, but we only have index cards, and we're not in a big white space room, so we're going to see how that unravels. I really meant unfolds. I didn't mean unravels. But just so you know, this is, I use the word doodle and I use the word game. And those are not terms in organizations that people understand the seriousness of them, actually. So people often think doodle game, like how could something fun be intellectually rigorous? And it is deeply intellectually rigorous. And so I wanted to give you all four examples, though, so you understand the context in which the games I'm going to ask you to play could show up. So I'm just showing you four challenges that are examples of things that my organization and my team do. And that's one example. Imagine and design an internal consulting team. So you can actually use doodling, info doodling, and gaming to solve that challenge. To understand advocacy. So I'm not going to read them to you, but you can, because I know y'all can read. But that's another example of a challenge. These are all challenges that were real world, real life challenges solved with real people. And then the last one. And we have dozens of examples of this, but I'm sharing these with you to ground you in the fact that while we're going to have a lot of fun and we're going to do something that's based on imaginative thinking, it actually can be grounded in a substantive sequence of thinking processes that will ultimately result in people performing better and people thinking better. And that's why I'm so passionate about it, because it changes lives and it changes minds. So I have to plug my books. Because we only have like 45 minutes together, so I want y'all to know that there are books that encapsulate these methodologies, and one of them is here, The Doodle Rev. It was just published in January, and Oprah said it was good. What? I haven't got to say that in public yet, so I'm like, yeah! Anyway, sorry. I got excited. So, and then for the science people, for the people that want to know why things, like Dr. Laura, for wait, Dr. Laura, that's another lady. She's not Dr. Laura. I want to just really ask you this first. How many of you actually identify as doodlers? You are people who doodle. That is the best. And then how many people would consider yourself a visual thinker? That's awesome. That's amazing. And then how many of you are introverts and you're not comfortable with me asking you questions? Okay, very good. So there is a game. I respect that. I do respect that. So there is a game that the third game we'll play is for the introverts, FYI. I always think of y'all because I am one of y'all. Surprise! Why infodoodling matters, I just want to quickly tell you why I'm asking you to do something that may stretch your comfort zone a little bit. One reason is that it elevates focus and concentration significantly. So when we study doodlers, we see that their heart rates are lower, their breathing is lower, and in a world of what I would refer to as continuous partial attention, meaning very fragmented attention, where we feel real frazzled and we don't really feel present in our own lives, doodlers have almost mastered like a meditative trance-like state when they really get in the zone. That's a big one. Focus and concentration is a big one. They increase information retention. So doodlers remember more than their non-doodling counterparts in terms of auditory content. They remember 30% more. Heightened engagement. So remember when I talked about learning as a three-dimensional process? It turns out when you accommodate all of the channels that people bring with them in their embodied states, like visual linguistic, auditory, and kinesthetic, meaning that we're whole people, we're not just two-dimensional people. So it turns out when you allow people to use all of their faculties, their engagement is significantly higher. Surprise, surprise, right? But you tell the schools that. So knowledge exploration. I love schools, just FYI, I went to school. Knowledge exploration. So infodoodling, remember, is a display. It's a visual display back to yourself. So when you can explore the integration of language and numbers and shapes and then show it to yourself, then it allows you to reflect more deeply on what it is that you're looking at and understand the system more effectively. It's a big deal, too. Different access to problem solving and insights. So when we're in environments that are based on linguistic and auditory content, like this one is for now, there are certain neurological networks that are activated. And when you move into a space that allows fluidity and allows you to move from visual information to linguistic information, and you get to move your physical body, it turns out neurological networks that are dormant become activated. So it's not like I'm not joking. I mean, this is real stuff. It's changing the possibilities and the access that you have to information that's stored in your mind. Big picture awareness. People can move from the granular level of information all the way to systems thinking when they use visual language. And the last two are the ones we're going to do today. And I think they're awesome. So habit pattern thinking. Can y'all all see me? Okay. Are you all doodling right now? People have their heads down. I'm like, if you're on your phone, I'm pissed. I want you to be doodling or looking at me. Habit pattern thinking. This is what is exquisitely amazing about the brain and also its biggest Achilles heel. The brain is designed to acknowledge and recognize stable patterns. So the brain prefers the world to live in a black and white space. And the reason for that is that it needs to survive. So it doesn't need to try to figure out every morning what's a possible way to use the doorknob differently. It's like, oh, here's a doorknob, So it just establishes these tracks of patterns. And it's very functional and it's very useful, but the problem with it is, of course, what? What's the problem with over-summarizing life? It's predictable, it's boring. That's what stereotypes are derived from. They're actually a result of people not really seeing nuance. And so we have the opportunity to change that. I'm not saying to change it forever. I'm saying to allow yourself both of those faculties to move in between black and white, summative, abbreviated thinking to nuanced and sophisticated and calibrated thinking. And we have that option available to us at all times. And that's what innovators do. They ultimately are able to switch modalities like that. Oh, I need water. Sorry, y'all. I get excited and then my heart beats. You're a doctor, you know. And then my mouth gets dry. Are y'all having fun yet with that? Creativity and imagination, that's where we're headed, as you know. So we're going to play gibberish. Now, who feels like volunteering? I need two volunteers. Yes, come. And one more. Yes. Thank you. I take it you guys aren't introverts. Is that right?
No.
Okay, cool. So I have visual instructions up here. What's your name?
Angelica.
Sunny. Pleasure.
Pleasure.
How are you? Dr. Doodle. Pleasure. So we're all going to play this, right? This is a sequence of games we're going to play, and I'll explain them to you why we're doing it. But for now, just trust me. You're totally safe, I promise you. How to play gibberish. This game's called gibberish. Have you ever played? Are you an improv?
No.
Okay.
I have 3 years old.
Oh, great. She has a 3-year-old. She plays gibberish every day. So here's what y'all have index cards, right? So what you're going to do is get in groups of three. You don't have to, like, triangulate. You can just be together, but just pick groups of three and then assign yourself 1, 2, 3. Yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be fun.
You can be one. I'll be two, and you be... No, you be two. Y'all one and two. Yeah, that's better. You stand right there. Okay. Okay, you ready? So here's what happens. The first person makes up a word, okay? Your job, person number one, your job is to invent a word. If you take longer than a second, you're overthinking it. I want it to be, it could be a guttural sound like, that's a word. Write it down, okay? And we're going to keep rotating. Person number two, when they hear the word, they're going to say the definition of the word right off the top of their head. Whatever it is. It's not a real word, so you have to invent a definition. You got it? It's exciting, I know. Okay, and then person number three, doodles the word. Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. And you have 7 seconds to do it. Okay? So I'm going to demo. Yeah, thank y'all. I'm like, thanks for... Wait, shh. Okay, y'all, I'm going to do a demo. Ready? They're going to demonstrate this with me. Because there's people that are confused. Not all people are auditory learners, remember? So there's a visual, but here we're going to do a demo. So that's 3D learning, okay? So you're person number one. Ready? So go.
Slank.
Slank. Wait, slinka. What is it?
Slinka? I thought she said slingo.
Slinka.
To do a worm with only your index finger and no thumbs.
Nice, very nice. And then if I had a marker, I would draw a slinka. Yeah, I don't want to take their time. Okay, do it again.
Jenga.
She likes words that end with A. Okay.
Jenga is to have towering eyelashes.
Nice. Awesome. So you see how effortlessly they did this? Thank y'all so much. You're welcome. You can go back and find the trio. Thank you. Yeah, so that's how it goes. So... you got to be accountable. You have 7 seconds to doodle, and you keep switching, so you keep rotating. So whoever was number 1, 2, 3, rotate. So everybody has to doodle at least once. Go. I can play it for hours. Okay. Thank you. Did everybody doodle at least once? Okay, that is the best. Okay, thank you for doing that. That is called gibberish, and the purpose of that game is, first of all, to get the giggles, and then second of all, it's to start to trigger your mind and body into a space where things don't need to make sense, right? That's a big deal. All we ever want to do, right, is know stuff, be smart, and make sense. And that way no one can tear us down, right? And this is a place where I'm asking you to make no sense and be a genius, okay? So the next game. Whoop, hi. I'm only standing up here temporarily because I had to quiet y'all down. The next game is called Piss Off Slugworth, okay? So Slugworth, does somebody tell me who Slugworth is? Get on the mic and tell me. Yeah, he's the arch nemesis of Willy Wonka. Right. If you remember in the movie, he actually turns out to be hired by Willy Wonka, so it's very sneaky. But he poses as his arch nemesis. Who's Willy Wonka, just for Claire? And the Chocolate Factory. So Willy Wonka is one of the greatest candy inventors of all time to this day. Okay. And Slugworth is his arch nemesis, and Slugworth is always stealing Willy's ideas for candy. Okay. And the reason why Slugworth irritates the shit out of me is because, first of all, it's not because he's tall and scary, and it's not because he bribes small children, and it's not because he jumps out from behind walls. It's because he's lazy. So Slugworth thinks that he can't invent his own candy, and he steals Willy Wonka's recipes all the time. And when I watch the movie, I'm like, can he not come up with his own ideas? They're available to all of us. This is the point of this session, right? That innovation is accessible and available to even people who think that their right brain is shriveled, you know? And so that's why Slugworth annoys me, because I'm just like, get a team and do some work, you know? So what we're going to do is we're going to design Willy Wonka's next candy. That's what the next game is. And this game is in pair. It's going to be so fun. You're going to be drooling. This game is in pairs, okay? So I was just going to show you, these are the innovators that we celebrate in our culture. They are men, which irritates me also. But Wonka is by far the most delightful. And I will say, too, that Wonka and all of these guys on some level are masters of something I call perceptual creativity, which is just a fancy way of saying that they're able to see things in a different way. So they don't look at something and assume that it is always that thing. They actually can turn it around, rearrange it, substitute, combine it, and that's just a skill. It's not magic. It's actually just a skill that you can train in. It's like a muscle that you can exercise. So we're going to be Willy Wonka's, like, comrade today. So here's how the game works. Get in pairs of two. Not that you have to move, but, you know, one, two, assign numbers. And I need to demo this again, because I think this one's going to stretch you even more, right? So give me, do you want to do it?
Sure.
I feel like you do. Okay, come up. There's some stairs. Here, everybody, while we're up here, go ahead and write thank you so much for coming up here. Write a random word on your index card and then pass them all over the room until you end up with somebody's random word. So, an object. A real, yes, a real word, sorry. An actual word. An object, like a noun, you know, person, place, or thing. And then pass them just all over creation like you're shuffling a deck, you know?
Yeah.
How are you, Sunny? You look familiar.
I look familiar, Italian face.
I feel like everyone's Italian, Mom. That's awesome. So I will let you play, too, so when you get down, you can invent your own word. Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to ask you to do is just ideate with me on the spot.
So ideate?
Ideate, like come up with candy. So I'm going to give you a random candy.
Okay.
And then I'm going to give you a random word. And I want you to try to imagine what you could use that candy. Or I'll demonstrate first. You give me a random word, and then I'll demo, and then I'll switch it. Then you'll make random words. Yeah. Oh, good. You got it? Is it pasta?
Yeah. It was car. It was square.
Okay. Don't tell me. Okay.
In Austin.
Oh, yeah. Where do you think I was?
You don't go here.
Oh, really?
You're from Austin.
I don't have I'm not a good Texan. I don't like football. I don't have an accent. And I
did you grow up there?
I did.
Did your mother was adamant about you not having an accent? Because my mom was adamant about us not having a Philadelphia accent.
Oh, that's not
no,
fair.
No, I'm okay.
You're happy that she did? Okay, y'all are all right. You have your random words, all y'all. She's just discovering I'm from Texas. She's like, how can you be from Texas? You look like I'm from, I look like I'm from another planet. okay, you got random words. So here, we're going to demo this, because this one, for real, is, it's not that the mind is frozen, it's just that there hasn't been electrochemical energy sent to certain parts of the brain, right? So sometimes you might have like a false start. You'll be like, I can't think of anything. And that's cool, that's totally fine, that's part of this process. So, there you have in pairs. Okay, so somebody name a random candy.
A
Snickers? Okay. Chocolate, I knew it would be chocolate with the ladies. So tell me what your random word is.
Door, I'm sorry.
Door. Okay, and my random word is airplane. So you and I are going to design a better Snickers with the word door and airplane. Yeah, so weird. Okay, so I'm going to show you what it would be like. Okay, so with a door, doors have windows, and airplanes have windows, and maybe you could have a Snickers that's so big that it can only go into houses through windows, whatever. See, it doesn't have to make sense. You see what I'm saying? Then you go, okay, so now try the same thing, like go through that process with an airplane and a door and a Snickers, and make a better Snickers, and don't be afraid. I know, she's not afraid, I can tell.
Well, an airplane has wings.
Yeah.
So we could, and a door has knobs, mm-hmm. So maybe we could just have wings with knobs all over it and cover it with chocolate.
That's awesome. I would eat that Snickers. If you're like flying on that Snickers, like, woo! So you see where we're going with it, right? The idea is to take attributes and combine them and like do a lot of ideas. So don't like stop on one, like multiple ideas. I want you to just bust them out. Real stupid. Like mine made no sense. None. And the thing about getting to greatness is what? You have to go through a lot of ridiculous stuff to get there. That's the secret that people don't tell you. They're like, oh, I'm super genius. I'm like, no, you're not. You have a process. Whatever. So that was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good work. So you see, there's your visual instructions. Random word, candy. And then when you find a candy that you both like, that you think is really a great, like Willy Wonka would be happy about it and Slugworth would be pissed, then I want you to both doodle a picture of that candy. Okay? And I'm going to give you, what time is it? Okay, great. So I'm going to give you 7 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes, depending on your energy. And is everybody clear on what you do? And you also understand that you can't get this wrong. It's a practice. Okay? Go. funny. The hi y'all. Hey, what's up? Hey, it's really funny. I use the shh a lot, and so one time, like, I've used it in cultures around the world, and it's the only thing that works. And one time, a lady came up, and she was like, "I really don't appreciate the shush because it makes me feel like I'm three." And I was like, "Well, it just works. I don't know what to tell you, so shh." It's just not nice. So how was that? I want to have some people share on the mic, like, what the experience was, negative and positive, because this isn't necessarily natural or easy for people. And by the way, I'm standing up here because I had a request to stand up because I'm so short people can't see. And apparently people want to see my hair. So yeah, somebody share. And I know you might be shy, but it informs everyone when you share your experience. So, yes. Yeah, please. There's a mic. Do you want it? Okay, you want to speak into my mic?
Sorry?
Do you want to speak into mine?
I can just sit down here.
Okay, tell me if you can hear, and I'll repeat what you say.
So we got the words spinning top.
Uh-huh, spinning top, yeah.
And dog. And we wanted to get an old school candy, so we used the Fun Dip.
Nice.
Remember Lick-A-Made?
Yes, I do.
So we came up with a concept called Top Dog.
Uh-huh.
And we have a Chihuahua and Dalmatian on the packages, and the flavors are watermelon and root beer. And the little stick that you used to scoop out the sugar,
dipping stick,
is shaped like a spinning top, and it actually spins. And when you take out the dip, it changes colors.
Nice.
But then you can reuse the pouch. It has a zipper on it and a little handle, so you can have a little pouch to one of those little wristy things.
How you carry it around without a pouch?
And you can use it when you go out walking your dog to store your plastic baggies.
Oh, it was like multi-purpose. Very nice.
So it was a very fun process, and and it was just kind of amazing how we got to the things we did because we had no idea from the beginning.
Okay, so tell them how it was in the beginning versus at the end.
Definitely, we could feel the momentum of just.
Okay. Yeah. So
collaborating.
Yeah.
And then also working with someone else, like, she came up with ideas that I hadn't even thought of.
Are y'all friends?
No, we just met each other.
Okay, so you just met. Even better.
Yes.
Yay, nice. Yeah, thank you for sharing. You can patent that if you want. Okay. Who else wants to share? Oh, good. Go ahead. Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so our words were sea and bike. And the first thing that I noticed that I wrote down a list of all the qualities of a sea, but my partner, the first thing she did was to draw a bike. Mm-hmm. So we were trying to figure out how we can blend them together. We figured out that both of us like Snickers.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that we were going to put pumpkin seeds instead of nuts in the Snickers.
Oh!
And we decided that we weren't going to use a bicycle. We were going to use a unicycle.
Uh-huh.
The name of the candy is a Cocoa Cycle, and it's going to be candy within the spokes, and we're going to dip everything in chocolate. And we're going to use taffy for tires because she didn't like licorice.
Smart lady. Nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. Excellent. Excellent. So you seem excited. Do you want to share? Yeah, I saw you raise your hand. You can't hide now. It's too late. Ew.
So we had fire engine and bottle,
mm-hmm.
and then we picked the candy as plain M&Ms, and we actually didn't get to draw it yet because we were just still floating ideas back and forth.
Okay.
So a couple of the ideas that we came up with were melted M&Ms in a fire hose.
Ooh.
That would be connected to the fire engine. we did mystery bottled M&Ms in fire engine colors, red, yellow, and maybe orange. We did infusing chili with M&Ms that are made at the firehouse, transported in the fire engine. And it was just interesting because as we were progressing, mm-hmm. I noticed that, like, then we started changing the shape of the M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started thinking of different ideas of infusing M&Ms
into yeah.
things.
Yes.
So I thought it was a really good exercise.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. That's awesome. I don't know how many ideas we just generated. I think there's 580 to 600 of you, and you probably each generated 3 ideas, maybe minimum, so that's 1,800 ideas. I guarantee you at least 10% of those are viable ideas, and that took like 7 minutes. No big deal. So I do want to talk to somebody who had resistance or who experienced resistance in the process. Do you want to?
Oh, I was just talking about, like, real-life experience. This was great today.
Yeah, they had a good time.
But I have certain DNA
in session. Yeah, she's good. Right. Thank you. So she was talking about when you're in an environment in which that kind of thinking is not supported, which, to be frank, is 95% of the spaces that we operate in. So it is important to, like, sort of align yourself with people who understand the value of what you're doing, and also really to turn off the inner critic that we have, right? Because remember I talked earlier about how the brain is designed to stabilize life. It does not like uncertainty by a biological definition, and there's a very good reason for that. So to ask the brain to do something nonsensical is not a small request, you know? I mean, some of us are practiced in it, so we're more comfortable and we're less afraid, but it's perfectly natural and, in fact, reasonable to have the judgment voice arise. But so what's the purpose of judgment? What's the value of judgment? There's lots of values of it. It's not like a trick question. I'll answer it for you. So judgment is designed to move people back to their original position. So people go out on a limb. Maybe it's just a small limb. And then they say some small idea like, oh, I think it would be so cool to design hats that sing Broadway musicals. I just made that up. And then the person that they're with goes, that's ridiculous. First of all, the cost is insane. All those songs are copyrighted. You definitely cannot get the rights to them. And then what does the person do? They revert to their original position. That's the point of judgment, is to keep us safe. But there's a time and place for safety. It's not all the time. And the thing is that when we are together and we want to be innovative and we want to be creative, we can allow for that to be okay and, in fact, to be wonderful. And that's part of the thing. So when you experience your own voice of judgment arising, just acknowledge it. Say, I hear you. That's stupid. I hear that you think that's stupid. But then let the other voice, that sort of inner Willy Wonka voice, say, yeah, but there might be something there. And who cares if it's not a good idea? It's imagination. It's pure imagination. That's the point of it. So this is the last game, okay? And this one I have to bring out down to practical, because I want you to have something applicable that you can take to work, right? You can't go to work and be like, I just designed a fire hose candy! You know, be like, take your meds. So here's the one where we're going to apply this kind of thinking to something in your own life and work. And it's going to be, this is the game for the introverts, so it's a silent game, okay? You can talk to your neighbor, I'm not saying you can't talk, but it's for individuals, okay? Are you having a good time? Okay, good. I want to check on this little lady right here. So that's what I was going to say. This is also important for the nerds in here. A nerd is a compliment. Did y'all know that? Just clarifying. Imagination is a swarm. So when we're sitting around and our mind is sort of percolating, right, imagination is actually, when you have that act of innovation, it's actually like a network of constellations in your cerebral cortex that are taking disassociated content and smashing it together and then having that aha moment. So it's really, truly a thing that can be manifested on purpose, and it doesn't require some, you know, genetic superhero power. So this game is called How to Change Your Mind, and we're going to use some of the things that we used in the second game, but I'm going to give you a deeper technique so that you can move a little bit more into it, perceptual creativity. But in this case, I want you to individually think of a random word, and if you don't give yourself a word that's going to help, like, give yourself a random word, you know, like something that's not related to your job, okay? And so once you have that in your mind, write it on your index card. Have a question? Yes, also an object. Sorry, thank you. Yeah, you can have a phrase. Yeah, it could be two words. Just one word in this case, though, but one index card, two. Yeah, like a person, place, or thing, yeah. And then I want you to think of a product or a service or an experience inside of your own organization. So if you work for a tech company, maybe it's you have online tutorials, and that's a service. You know, if you work in a marketing firm, maybe you do, bless you, maybe you do activations in the world. That would be an experience. So, or maybe you work at a company that sells, you know, Doritos. I don't know, a product, you know. So I want you to pick one of those and then write that on your index card. Does everybody have their random word in their product? Okay, so we're going to do something called atomization. This is also a visual thinking and a game technique that supports that cognitive performance, really. So atomization is when you break something down into its elemental parts, and that's what you're going to do, and I'm going to show you an example. And then after you're going to do that to both of those things on your index cards visually. So you're going to doodle this stuff, okay? And I didn't have time to give y'all a doodle training, but I do those, FYI. So here's what atomization might look like. There's an index card. I picked the word piranha. I don't know why. But I thought, okay, well, what associations do I have with the word piranha? Teeth, river water, African, powerful jaws, misunderstood. I think all violent creatures are just basically misunderstood. But so I want you to do that. So I want you to take time with your random object and with your product or your service or your experience and break it down. Start to ask yourself, what is it made of? What's the system inside of it, you know, that it lives? What are the elements of it? And just maybe do five. Make sense? Yeah, five for each. Yeah. So once you have broken up your object and your service or your product, then the step three is to improve, disrupt, or transform that process. But I know you can do it. And I don't mean that you have to take it to work and say, oh, I just optimized our process. I just mean I want you to start using your mind and awakening that part of the brain so that you can explore possibilities around that thing. I know, it's weird. I think for some of you it's real natural, and other of you are looking at me like, what is wrong with this lady? But everything can be disrupted and transformed. Should I walk around and help people? Are you doing good? Doing good? Oh, okay. So in my own company, I have a sales cycle, and usually it goes like somebody emails me and they say, oh, we heard that you're Dr. Doodle, or that you love gaming. Can you help us? And then we usually respond with, you know, an explanation of our services and our pricing, and then we say, do you want to call? So there's a process there, sales process. So if you were to break that sales process up into a sequence of steps, any one of those steps could be optimized. It could be disrupted and transformed. So if I was going to take, say my object is a puppy, you know, then I'd be like, oh, a puppy is warm and fuzzy. Maybe I should make the sales cycle somehow warmer and fuzzier. And then I could be like, maybe at a certain point in the process, I could give the client a warm fuzzy. How would I do that? Oh, I could send them a digital image of a puppy. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Like, you just experiment with it, but you do it inside of that process or that product that you have. And this is an exploration, so please don't feel like you have to come up with the optimal solution. This is, like I said, this is not instinctive. I can tell because the energy is sort of stagnant, and that's understandable because that's what happens when people ask us to use a part of the brain that we don't get to use that much. You can use it when you're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7, and then when you're a grown-up, it's like shame, you know? But 95% of the great things on Earth were innovated at some point by someone willing to take that risk. And it doesn't even really have to be risky. So you can do it by yourself in your closet. You know what I mean? You don't have to, like, broadcast it, you know? But that's what I'm asking you to do, is find, just, like, isolate one piece of that process or that product. So if you, so tell me what your service is.
Live educational
events. Live educational events. So you could break it up, atomize it into like five elements of those events, and then innovate on any one of those elements. Is that helping? Making more sense? Don't worry if you're struggling. That's very, very natural. It's very, very natural. Okay, so you get the idea. We have 10 minutes left, and I want to leave some time for questions because I think you probably all have questions at this point. Is that a good idea to open it up for questions? Okay, awesome. So I just want to congratulate you. You now all have Wonka vision, even if it's just an eye barely opening. And there's mics for you to go and ask me questions. And there's no question that I think is wrong. I think I'm open to all and receptive to all questions. Thank you. Thank you for participating.
Sunny, I just wanted to thank you. My name's Carla.
How are you?
Great. I'm in the process of taking over my family business.
Oh, congratulations.
So, thank you. And it's been very difficult. You know, it's the concept of giving up your dream to your child to run.
Mm-hmm.
So, this has allowed me to see what my vision is.
Good.
For the business.
That's
and how
awesome.
We can communicate
mm-hmm.
and bridge it together
mm-hmm.
and move the company forward. So I really appreciate this.
So that's thank what you. All that furrowed thinking was you were doing.
Yeah.
Got it.
Esteem and all that.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming. And you could, if you go to the book signing, I could help you explore some other options for doing that. I was going to show y'all. Hey, when you're leaving, if you could be quiet so we can hear the people talking, that'd be awesome. Does anybody else have a question? I'm going to take you back to these examples so that you can remember, woo, so you can remember some of the things, right? So remember we had, those were three thinking games. There was a sequence of three thinking games. But you embed them inside of visual thinking whole processes. And you can solve any problem. So say her problem was establishing the vision for the new generation of people to take over the family business. That's a whole thing that you can do working with a group or by yourself. And you can design a thinking process for yourself. And that's what the books do, is they describe, they train you how to do it yourself so you don't need me. It will change the, it will transform the future state, you know. And without going through that exercise, we may resort to habitual pattern thinking, and then there's not a future that's necessarily as imaginative. So it's important to do that stuff. Am I intimidating y'all standing up on the stage? I feel like I'm like, yes.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm an engineer, and I work with engineers, which this, I think, is something
yes.
that engineers, it's not natural.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of weird, you know, processes. And,
yeah.
Do you have any tips for implementing this sort of thing with people who might be resistant
yes.
and not very comfortable?
Definitely. Because most of the environments I work in are not comfortable. And I've worked around the world and across industries and companies large and small. So I have 1,000 tips, actually. But my first tip is to meet them where they are. So I don't go in and make people uncomfortable, because that increases resistance. So I simply start to sort of investigate, like, how do you like to work? What's your preferred method? And the thing is about engineers, do you see that grid right there? Engineers love grids. They're big fans. So I would recommend that you explore games with them that are not too out of the box, but they get them inside of a visual thinking structure, and then kind of crack open what I call the extended mind, so the white space is bigger, and ask them to do logistical, analytical games. So don't bring it into an imaginative space. And also, if I have a free book. I'll give you a book. But there's ways to justify it, if you will, inside of organizations that are resistant to it. But I also say, you know, find allies in your organization and start small. You know, so you don't want to intimidate people, because what happens? Their brain comes right on, and then they foment a revolution against you. You know, you're too radical, right? So I don't say come in with your guns blazing. You know, it's more like coming in a supportive role and then asking, oh, maybe we should try one thought experiment using visualization. And then it starts to speak for itself, and then you don't have to convince people. That's my recommendation in an abbreviated form. I have thousands of other options. Yeah. Thank you for asking that. Yes. In terms of the object you picked?
Yeah.
Okay, she's saying, does the random object that you pick need to be related to the process that you're exploring? And the further away it is, the better. If you're trying to force open, you're trying to crack open your mind in a big way. That's why I remember how I had y'all swirl your words around, because a lot of times people will pick words that are in their little safety bucket. So I wanted you to get a word that you did not get to choose. And that's actually a neurological phenomenon too, because the further away an associative memory that word is from the original thing, the more possibilities you have to explore to connect that word to your process. So it really depends on how expansive you want to be, but I definitely recommend words that are not related to what you're talking about, for sure. Yes?
When we did the first two exercises, we found it was really easy because it was silly and you know, you really got to just pick anything.
Right? Yes.
But when it came down to picking that thing about work, then it got really hard because that's when you're in that zone, right? So how much of the first two do you need to do before it actually expands your...
That's awesome. That's a great question. So I call that priming. So whenever you start to do... Remember we did gibberish and it was silly, and then we did candy and it was silly. So that's called priming, meaning that you're creating a space in which the safety is acceptable to do weird exploratory stuff. The value is not necessarily clear, but it doesn't need to be, because your goal is not to make something presentable. Your goal is to start to kind of remember that mind that we all have and we have always had, and it's almost the mind of innocence. It's the mind of non-judgment. And so it really is, sometimes with groups, you might need to do 20, 30 minutes of that. And it really, people will have a physiological response to it. They will actually, they will start to feel giddy a little bit, and they will start to feel connected to each other because their vulnerability is raised. And so that's why they need to be safe, because they're vulnerable, you know. But, I mean, I recommend doing, like, I sometimes bring in improv facilitators to work with me to actually create what I call a liquid environment, so a space in which people can move freely and feel safe. So it's worth looking at how long you prime people.
So is it really important to all be in the same room? We have we're geographically across the country. So
you can do remote gaming, and I don't love it because the technology is not even remotely accommodate real humans at this stage, but it can be done for sure. You can do grid, like you could do, see that grid? There's a game called, I forget what it's called. It's not The Blind Side, but you can actually put visual thinking templates inside of a GoToMeeting or whatever, and have people populate that content. So you can certainly play the games. And if you get GameStorming or the DoodleRev, any and all of those games can be adapted to remote distributed teams for sure. But it's not as awesome. Just to be clear,
I figured it wouldn't be, but
because how are you going to be like this?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. You just can't. So
okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I am actually going to keep Sunny true to time.
Oh.
First, everybody actually helped me thank Sunny for opening
the ball. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you.